finally heard the relatively new station in Reynosa, Tamaulipas, on 16.
You're blind, baby. You're blind from the facts on who you are because you're watching that garbage.
Hello, my name is Ginger Feldman from High and Mighty Therapeutic Riding and Driving Center, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
On Saturday, July 22nd, turn out or tune in to Wave Farm for a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium. Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium will be the 13th installation at Wave Farm's Art Park. And on Saturday, July 22nd, it'll be inaugurated from noon to 6 p.m. with a day of percussionist performances. Those percussionists include Lisa Stoneberg and Leah Bowden, Zuki Legba and special guests, Chris Corsano and Bobby Previtt. And Saturday, July 22nd's performances are part of Upstate Art Weekend, which is at Wave Farm and many other locations. Tune in or turn out to a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium, Saturday, July 22nd from noon to 6 p.m. in the Wave Farm Art Park in Acra. You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
My people, what can I say? Say what I can. I saw it, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it, what I saw. Are we gonna live together? Together, are we gonna live? This is your Mr. Senior Love Daddy talking to you from We Love Radio 108 FM on your dial. And that's the triple truth, Ruth. Today's weather... hot! Wake up!
I'm Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories. Heather Bellow reports in the Berkshire Eagle that voters in West Stockbridge are voting again July 17th after a May 8th election and a May 19th recount ended in a 202-202 tie between Kathleen Carrizy and John Piasecki for a town board seat. Because only 406 out of the town's 1,217 registered voters cast ballots in May, Carrizy says, quote, "I really think that it's a get-the-vote-out situation," unquote. A controversy between two neighbors and business owners over noise, zoning, and permits has had tempers high in West Stockbridge recently, and both candidates have said they want to see a return to civil discourse. Voting is from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Town Hall Gymnasium on July 17th. Nancy Kern reports in Columbia Green Media that officials in the town of Coxsackie want Governor Kathy Hochul to veto a bill that would consolidate local elections to even years, save money, and increase the number of people voting for local offices. Election turnout is much higher in even years when presidents and congressional representatives are on the ballot. But Coxsackie Town Supervisor Rick Hans does not see the benefit of more people voting in Coxsackie elections, saying, quote, if the proposed legislation is enacted into law, local elections will have to compete with state and federal election campaigns for the attention of voters, unquote. While most observers believe not having elections in odd number years would save money, Coxsackie board member Patrick Kennedy said, quote, it will put added costs into local elections, unquote. Hans makes a clearer argument that, quote, separating local elections from the federal and state election campaign cycles gives voters more time to focus on and better understand important local issues. As the law stands now, town and county candidates can present their positions on issues without having to compete with high-profile national and state-level campaigns, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Mike Randall reports in the Times Herald Record that severe storms damaged the area twice in the past week, and more bad weather is forecast from July 14th through July 18th. The series of rainstorms on the way will include some severe thunderstorms and could cause more flooding locally. AccuWeather meteorologist Jeff Nordine said, quote, there are going to be some damaging winds, 40 to 60 miles per hour at times. AccuWeather's max forecast for these storms is 70 miles per hour, unquote. And hail, quote, can't be ruled out completely, unquote, Nordine said. There could be between 2 and 4 inches of rain falling over the weekend, with as much as 4 to 8 inches in some spots, Nordine said. So with the ground still saturated by last weekend's storms, flooding could occur with the new rainfall. Read more about this story in the Times Herald Record. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, WGXC.org.
Everybody should see everybody. I am Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. A wave of exclusion is sweeping the nation in state legislatures and federal courts, including the Supreme Court. Major targets of this marginalization are members of the LGBTQIA+ community. Last week, a federal appeals court affirmed Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care for transgender youth. The American Civil Liberties Union said in a statement after the decision, this ruling is beyond disappointing and a heartbreaking development for thousands of transgender youth, their doctors, and their families. Will continue to challenge this law until it is permanently defeated, unquote. While trans people are most openly and consistently in the crosshairs, another group is suffering as well, intersex people. A remarkable new documentary called Everybody is now hitting theaters, exposing the extent of the abuse heaped on this community, highlighting the vibrant movement for justice and human rights for intersex people growing worldwide. Everybody is a powerful must-see documentary directed by Oscar-nominated filmmaker Julie Cohen. According to Planned Parenthood, intersex, the I in LGBTQIA, is an umbrella term that describes bodies that fall outside the strict male-female binary. This could be, quote, a person with both ovarian and testicular tissues. Other intersex people have combinations of chromosomes that are different than XY, unquote. An estimated 1.7% of people have some intersex characteristics. Historically, the medical establishment in the United States subjected most intersex people to surgery to, well, they call it correct them, often as children or infants. Many children were not told they're intersex or that they had an operation. Others were told to keep quiet by doctors and/or their parents to avoid stigma and shame. While trans youth are increasingly being prevented from seeking gender-affirming care, including surgery, intersex people are often subjected to surgery without their knowledge. Many trans care bans make an exception to allow surgery on intersex infants and children, which too often is done without real informed consent. The medical and emotional trauma resulting from these non-consensual surgeries has been immense. Everybody features three remarkable intersex activists. River Gayo, they, them. Sean Cypher Wall, he, him. And Alicia Rothweigel, she, they. They highlight the wide variation in how intersexuality presents itself and the incredible courage underpinning the movement for intersex inclusion and justice.
On my medical records, it was noted that I had a small phallus and undescended testes.
That's Cypher Wall speaking on Democracy Now!
they just made the arbitrary decision to assign me as female and raise me as a girl, but I never felt like a girl. My mom had two children before me who also had AIS, and they were born during the 60s, where the protocol was to sort of remove what they considered gonads, but which were really undescended testes. And so those surgeries were done in infancy. When I was born, they also wanted to do that. And this was at Columbia Presbyterian here in New York City. And my mom said no, you know, because something didn't feel right to her. And, you know, she kept saying no. And the only reason why she consented to surgery is that the doctor at the time told her that these gonads, and I put those in quotes too, these gonads were cancerous. And because of the risk of cancer in my family, she consented.
What mother
and
wouldn't?
It wasn't, of course, you know? But what I would say is that it wasn't thorough, informed consent.
And it turned out, of course, you saw the records that, in fact, you were not in any way, you did not have cancer.
I did not. I received those records when I was 25, and I felt betrayed, I felt angry, and I think there was a whole part of my life that I was cheated out of. And what I experienced, what other people have experienced, are civil rights and human rights violations.
Everybody includes intersex activist Alicia Roth-Weigel's 2017 testimony before a Texas Senate committee in opposition to bills that would have discriminated against transgender people and their ability to use public restrooms.
I have XY chromosomes. So I stand here today, or sit here today, representing the I in LGBTQIA, which stands for intersex. Because of a condition called complete androgen insensitivity, I was born phenotypically female on the outside with a woman's anatomy, but with internal testes instead of ovaries. And they were subsequently removed.
Roth-Weigel appeared on the Democracy Now! NewsHour and explained,
I am a proud Texas woman who is fighting against our high rates of maternal mortality in the state, that is fighting for body autonomy across the spectrum of all human rights, including free and fair access to abortions. And so I think bringing the intersex movement intersectionally into the women's movement is a really, really important fight.
Intersex activists are fighting for their rights, Alicia Roth-Weigel explained.
New York City was the first city to pass an ordinance that formally condemned surgeries and outlawed them in New York Health and Hospitals' public health system. It also mandated a public awareness campaign for parents and doctors of intersex children so that they can make better informed decisions than any of our parents were able to, often at the hands of misinformation provided to them by the medical community.
This ordinance has now been replicated in Austin, Texas, and is now being considered in the New York State Legislature.
The state of New York is going to be running a public awareness campaign to raise visibility of the existence of people like the three of us and so many others in our movement.
Director Julie Cohen says she hopes everybody promotes
more openness, more understanding, less shame and secrecy, more pride, understanding that there is a broad spectrum of what normal can be and what beauty and pride can be all about is part of what this film is all about.
I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
Now for the official National Weather Service forecast for the Capital Region. Flood watch in effect from 2 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time Sunday through late Sunday night. Sunday, showers with highs in the upper 70s. South winds around 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming southwest after midnight. Chance of rain 50%. Monday, sunny, warmer with highs in the upper 80s. West winds around 5 miles per hour.
So just this morning, July 13th, Noelle Diamond hosted Drag Story Hour at the Bethlehem Public Library. Ahead of this morning's reading, there was controversy as to whether it would take place, with a Board of Trustees meeting that brought many supporters and critics to speak on whether this type of programming is suitable for a library. You can hear Mark Dunley's report on this on our website from a couple days ago. Drag queen Noelle Diamond joins me now in the studio to reflect on this morning. Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Hello, thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So after all of that, what was this morning like? What took place?
I think that, yeah, it was very intense leading up to it, but then the actual day of today, I think, went very smoothly. Of course, there were some people who did show up in protest, but there was beyond more supporters. So overall, I had a great experience.
So for those who don't know, what is Drag Story Hour? What is it actually?
Sure. Yeah, there's definitely some misconceptions about it. It's honestly just a drag queen who is reading children's stories to children and singing some children's songs like Wheels on the Bus, things like that. It is programming specifically catered towards children. I know that sometimes there's some confusion that it would have content that would be like in an adult drag show, which is not the case by any means at all. So it is definitely all children's programming. It's just presented by a drag queen.
You mentioned school bus, and I heard you had a fabulous outfit. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I was dressed like a school bus. I tend to lean towards more like campier, like cartoonish type of things. And so I
just... And campy, for listeners who may not know?
Yeah, of course. Campy is just sort of like over the top, extreme expressions of things. So yeah, so I just had this idea of like, I love to sing Wheels on the Bus. I just think it's a very fun song. I loved it when I was a kid as well. And I was like, what if I did it as a bus? And I was like, is that a crazy idea? And I was like, it kind of is, so I'm going to do it. Yeah, so I made a little school bus outfit. It's like a little dress, and it has like a little windshield. It has like little lights. It has a license plate with my name on it. So yeah, I just thought that would be something that would be fun for the kids.
Lavender?
That's awesome. That's all I'm over here thinking.
Well, then I'll jump.
So, oh. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So why now? Why is drag all of a sudden a hot issue for conservatives? And is New York really all that different from the rest of the country where it maybe has made louder waves?
Okay, so I have, just to give some backstory. So I've been doing Drag Story Hours for about like 4 or 5 years now. And I started at the Albany Public Library, I want to say in like 2018 maybe. And there was backlash then as well. For sure, mostly online, and then the actual day of the event, it was pretty neutral, which was pretty similar to what happened today. I think that there's just been more popularity in general with drag performers, with shows like RuPaul's Drag Race. I think that it's becoming more mainstream, and then with that comes Drag Story Hour, which is, you know, it's been around for years now, but it's still a fairly new concept, and I think that now that it's becoming more popular, of course, it's going to come with more criticism. So it feels like it's all kind of happening all at once, but I think it's kind of been a snowball effect of, you know, increasing popularity and then, of course, increasing criticism as well.
And we mentioned the board meeting, and then you said you've been getting some criticism. What does that look like?
Okay, so it's so surreal, really, like, just because I just feel like I'm a normal person, and then to, like, I, like, watched a video of the board meeting and to have all of these people, you know, like, talking about me specifically is very interesting. But, yeah, so there's definitely been comments online, things like that. People who will find my Facebook page and then comment on certain things, or people taking photos from my page to then repost. It's a lot of cherry picking of photos of me in maybe outfits that I wouldn't wear to a story hour by any means, but sharing that to sort of, you know, create fear that that might be something that I would present to children instead of a school bus. But yeah, so definitely.
So just to reemphasize, it's always children appropriate attire.
Yes, exactly. For sure. But yeah, so people, you know, sharing some of my photos. I've done like spooky Halloween makeup before, like in October. And so people, you know, saying that that's like a photo of me worshiping the devil, which is also not the case. It's just like a Halloween costume. But yeah, people just sort of cherry picking things like that. is the majority of it. There was a couple people who actually showed up to the event. None of them really spoke to me directly. One person did come to me, but he spoke very respectfully to me in that moment. So, but that's sort of what it looks like. It's a lot of stuff online, not so much in person, which is good because the last thing that we need is for kids to show up and be afraid or feel unsafe in that space.
Mm.
Yeah.
I heard that some people think drag is misogynistic. How would you respond to someone with that point of view? I assume that they were thinking about it in terms of stereotypes of a certain woman.
Sure.
But it's drag is very diverse, right?
Yeah, drag is incredibly diverse. And the more that I do it, the more that I learn, like, how many aspects there are to it. I think a lot of it does have to do with, you know, intention is part of it as well. I never feel that I'm getting into drag to make a mockery of women by any means. It's an expression of art and of myself. And if anything, it's to celebrate all of those things. So that's how I personally feel about it. I don't know that I've really ever been to a drag show where people are there specifically to make fun of women. But that's, I don't know, that's how I feel about that specifically. Yeah.
Well, we only have about, well, I guess we have like 3 minutes left, but you mentioned the art form, and that is a huge part of drag. How do you develop a persona? And maybe in addition, if you can speak to other people who have designed personas, because like we said, it's very diverse. What does that look like? What goes into it?
Okay, yeah. So I will be so honest with you. My persona in drag is really not that different than me out of drag. And it's something that I think a lot of people get kind of hung up on of, well, who am I going to be like as this character? And some people do that and they do it really well. But I think a lot of people feel the need to do that when really like they can just be themselves. I'm myself, maybe a little bit bubblier in that moment. But otherwise, you know, it's really not all that different. It's really just an extension of who I am. I don't play the part of somebody else when I'm in drag. But there's people who do.
Yeah. So what are people missing? What are the naysayers missing about drag?
I think that there's definitely people who, you know, don't fully understand it. And, you know, again, think that the content in a drag story hour is going to be the same content in an adult drag show. And honestly, I think that a lot of these people probably haven't even been to an adult drag show. So do they, maybe they not, they don't actually have like the full experiences. It's sort of going based off of stereotypes of what they think a drag queen would be. That's probably a big part of it, is just the fear of the unknown.
So what are some other ways that Noelle Diamond comes out around Albany in the Capital Region? Where can we see you?
Yeah, for sure. So I really do two main things when I'm in drag, which would be the drag story hours. And I also do drag brunches as well in Troy. And I do those about every like 3 months.
And where can listeners get more info?
Yeah, of course. So I will post a lot of that information on my Instagram, which is noelle.diamond. Noelle is spelled Noelle.diamond. And that's where people can find all that stuff. And I'll post any relevant information for upcoming events.
Lavender, do you have anything to add?
I do have one more question, since we have just a minute left.
Sure.
So I recently learned about a term, drag king, which I had not heard before. Are you familiar with that term, and can you kind of explain it for, again, those who are against drag or just unfamiliar with drag?
Yeah, just in general. So actually, a lot of people are going into drag performer. It just is more inclusive. It just talks about somebody who does drag. But yeah, so the term of like drag queen most of the time would refer to a man who's dressing like a woman, and then a drag king would refer to a woman who's dressing like a man. However, drag is so incredibly diverse that there's just a endless amount of possibilities of like women who just dress also like women, but a more exaggerated version of that, men who still will dress like men. It's really just like playing with gender expression, playing with costuming, all of that sort of stuff. For me, a big part of it is I just want to look completely different than I do when I present as a man. And I also like to look more cartoonish. I want to look over the top. I want to look like a drawing of a person rather than Like, I don't want to actually look like a woman. I want to look like a cartoon of a woman, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's sort of just going, like, over the top with that.
This has been so fun. I hope you'll come back.
Yeah, of course.
Noelle Diamond, thank you so much for coming on to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Next, Cella Graham and Tom DiPietro speak with Carmen Borgia about the Ukuleles Unleashed live performance show on the radio and at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill on Tuesday, July 18th, where they're covering Harry Nilsson's The Point on ukuleles.
There's going to be a show, and you'll give us all the details, where you're going to play the soundtrack to The Point. Now, I happen to love The Point because I'm a huge Harry Nilsson fan. And Harry Nilsson, yeah. Until I got this new co-host, Harry Nilsson's song Thursday was my theme song for this show. Obviously enough, right?
You always trying to get me in trouble. You always trying to get me in trouble, Playboy.
You didn't like it.
It's a little dry. It's a little dry.
Well, so is, well,
anyway,
for you.
Okay. We're not here to convert anyone to Harry Nilsson, but we do have a very beautiful Harry Nilsson piece. So I am on another WGXC show, John Sturman and I. We host Ukuleles Unleashed, which is the third Tuesday of each month. And for the past years, I've just decided I want to have at least some of the show be live. And so I haven't really had a band at first, and it was COVID. And so I started, I would take the first hour of the show and play stuff by myself. So over the past year, we've done sets of, like, Randy Newman, Commander Cootie, The Roaches was the most recent one we did. And what we do is we pick a song, or I pick a band or a set or an album, and we play through it basically on ukulele. So
nice.
It's like a musical sketch, and I sing it. And then any band members I can get to join me, I do. So
nice.
Lately we've had various band members. So on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, the 18th, we're going to do the entirety of the Harry Nilsson soundtrack. We're going to call it a soundtrack, but it's sort of the CD, really. I'll explain that in just a second. For a very sweet fairy tale.
Like, animated.
There's pieces of reality missing from it, no question.
And animated.
It's a beautiful, it's, work. I love it. It's a beautiful fairy tale, as I think of it. And it was done, I guess, in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
It was an animated one-off TV show. And I want to say it was in Canada. I don't know if that's true. It was Canadian broadcast. It was narrated by Robin Alan Thicke and animated, very cool looking for the time. I never knew about that. I didn't see that. That wasn't on TV where I grew up. But somewhere in the 80s, I picked up a copy of the whole thing on CD. And I don't know if it's still available that way online, but the CD is just the soundtrack, and it's about a little less than 40 minutes long. Harry Nilsson does the narration, so there's no animation to go with it, so it's perfect for radio. There are 7 really lovely Harry Nilsson songs, and so I'll be singing probably a lot of those. We will be joined by a friend of mine, Nancy Giles, who will be narrating, and because we don't want anyone to have too heavy a load, she'll be splitting it up with Allison Davey and Dave Kelsey, so we'll have a few narrators. And then I'll play the songs. Nancy will probably sing some with me. Bob Goldberg, a local composer, a friend from New York, will be joining us. He'll be playing accordion, and I would guess he would sing some too. And then, because I'm overly ambitious, I have been egging on. I have Saturday ukulele jams, and so I've been putting together a little ukulele ensemble that'll help strum in key places and make it hyper extra beautiful.
Excellent.
The whole thing will be happening on Tuesday at
Tuesday.
Bridge Street Theater.
Bridge Street
here
Theater.
In Catskill. On. Yep. And we're doing it as a benefit for WGXC and for the Bridge Street Theater. It's a total informal. There's no admission. It's going to be a pass the hat benefit.
Oh, that's great.
We'll
you never have those
GXC
around anymore.
There.
That's great.
If you need a bumper sticker or something like that, we might be able to help you out. And but we're getting there to celebrate the fact that we have such a cool radio station that we can play this kind of stuff on, and that won't give me any guff if I want to play, musical theater piece that I think is going to be sweet and nice and fun.
So remind me again, Carmen, Tuesday at what time?
It's just
Tuesday at what
time? Tuesday, we will go on the air at 8 p.m.
8 p.m.
And so you can tune in and listen to WGXC live, just like you always do on Tuesday, because I know everybody always.